Father in heaven, we ask for a special blessing this morning. We are here at Sabbath school. There's nothing more holier about this time than any other time on the Sabbath day. But Father, we ask for your Spirit to inspire us to transcend this PowerPoint, transcend the ability of the speaker, and to speak to us in a way that gets our creativity going, that gets unction in our hearts, and gets results for the gospel kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we, Adventists, did not come up with Sabbath school. I don't know if that's a shock to any of you. We stole this from the evil Sunday people. And I say that, the pork-eating first day people. And I say that facetiously. We love our Sunday brethren, amen? There will be many saved in the kingdom who are Catholic or Sunday or even non-Adventist. But we do have this truth of the Sabbath, and we took this idea of Sunday school and we brought it into Sabbath. Sunday school came from the 1700s. Before 1700, there was no Sunday school. There was a guy who saw all these kids running around on Sunday, and they weren't going to church, they weren't going to school. So he brought them together and he taught them how to take a shower, how to bathe, how to comb your hair, how to have manners, and then taught them using Bible and Bible songs. And this was how the early Sunday school started. This guy named Robert Raikes took upon himself to scrub their faces, comb their hair, send them to school, and they taught basic doctrines, prayers, and hymns. Today, we have a very big conundrum because Sabbath school is dying all over the in many parts in the global north. These are missiological terms. It has nothing to do with directionality, but the global north is America, North America, Canada, Europe, and Australia, and some parts of South Africa. Okay. This is what we call the global north. We don't use the term first world anymore because that's no longer politically correct. And then who knows, after a couple years, global north and global south may not be politically correct. Global south is everyone else. It's Asia, it's Africa, and it's Latin America, where about right now 93% of the world church resides in the global north. About 1960, the global north up here was about 40 to 50% of the church. Today, it is only 8% of the church, which shows you the astronomical growth that's happening in Africa. It's so much that there are more Christians in Africa than there are in America. By the way, Africa is not a country, it is a continent. And there are many Christians there. The work is going very fervently, and they are now... This is so funny. So when I go to Korea and people are like, you know, when the kids don't finish the plate, 너 이거 다 먹어, 이거 다 먹으면 너 이거 애들이 얼마나 굶은 애들이 많어. 아프리카에 굶은 애 엄청 많은 줄 알아? Go. And then when I was little, I'm like, well, then FedEx it and send it to Africa. Like, I don't want to eat it. And then my mom would yell at me because then it would spoil on the way and we'd have these logical talks back and forth. But when I went to Africa, the continent, I've been to Africa 7 times, and different parts of Africa, I know there are poor parts, but the average African says this, okay? This is from different cultures, different tribes within Africa. If you don't finish your food, think about those hungry children in Korea. And my first reaction was like, what? How dare you? You know how rich people Koreans are? But they're referring to, obviously, North Korea, right? They're referring to the starving children in Korea. So, you know, my first reaction was, this is funny how Koreans say Africa, but Africans say Korea. So that's just... Anyway, so in the global south, Sabbath school is skyrocketing, but in the global north, it's declining. 1950s and 60s, Sabbath school was at what its apex. Sabbath school parallels Sunday school. We're no different from any other denomination. This is where conformist America was really at its apex. Everyone wore a black tie, black suit, and they went to church. Something happened in the 70s, the sexual revolution, the cultural revolution. And in the 80s and 90s, what happened was people started coming only for divine service, and Sabbath school was like an optional thing. But before the 80s, people used to come in for Sabbath school. Non-Adventists used to come in for Sabbath school, and they'd rush out because divine service, that's for Adventists. That's not for us. We're not members. We're just here for Sabbath school. So there's been a cultural shift that's happened. I'm not going to read all this stuff, but 1980s when megachurches happened, this is when the culture started developing where if you were from a big church, you felt like, hey, how many members are in your church? Oh, 500. Oh, you must come from a good, healthy church. How many members do you have? Oh, five. Oh, what kind of church is that? Whereas before, all churches were small. You had country churches everywhere, and that was the norm. But now you want to go to a 2,000 member, 9,000, and now the largest church in the world is in Korea, a 40,000 member church, where you go and they have their own parking building, and you have the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11:15, and 12:15 service that you get a ticket for, and you got to wait for your service to come up. Very interesting dynamics there. 1997 to 2004, this is where a lot of decline happened. Today, in 2004 to 2010, Sabbath school attendance dropped from 40% amongst evangelical Lutherans to now almost 8%. In the United Kingdom, only 5% of kids go to Sunday school. New Zealand, it was at 50%, went down to 11%. And in Canada, it was at 65%, now to 27%. So this is on decline. And we are in the process of trying to rectify this if we understand what the purpose of Sabbath school is. Now, many of you have a presupposition. You think Sabbath school is you come at 9:30, you sit, and you study the quarterly. That ain't Sabbath school. Okay, and so this presentation is to define what Sabbath school should really be all about. This is from a Southern Baptist leader, and the Southern Baptist Church is the largest denomination in North America, in America, and they attribute their growth and their health to small groups and Sunday healthy Sunday school groups. He says this, the most effective method in evangelism in the 20th century is the Sunday school. Obviously, it was from the previous century. It should be the contact agency of the church. All ages and types of people are visited, enrolled in the Bible school. Here, their hearts are warmed with Bible teaching. They are then led to remain for worship. They are brought into the Bible school, worship service, Christ, and church membership. And it's this philosophy that grew the Southern Baptist denomination. Now, Sunday school or Sabbath school, it is an opportunity not only have an academic exchange of ideas, but it is the basic forerunner to small groups. And small groups and Sabbath school where you interact and where you get to know each other and you visit each other throughout the week. Somehow it's degraded to a merely academic exercise where one person is pre-preaching before their sermon. Have you had those Sabbath schools? Or you have these like dilapidated Sabbath schools. We sit around like, all right, let's study the lesson. Okay, Joe is going to start, Sunday. Joe's late. Okay, well, we'll skip Sunday. And Susan will do Monday. And then Susan, Monday, Jesus is, and then she's like reading Monday. That's not teaching Sabbath school. That's not Sabbath school. That is a horrible way to spend Saturday morning. And I hate those kind of Sabbath schools. And I make it a point to tell them I hate it. So Ellen White says here, the object of Sabbath school work should be the what of what? It is an evangelistic activity, meaning it should be friendly for non-Adventists. But usually, Sabbath school is like a place for Adventists to hang out. It's like the pre-Adventist hangout before the sermon. And the sermon is where we have non-Adventists come out. But this should be an evangelistic activity. And there's a lot of things we've got to reform. Sabbath school is one of the greatest instrumentalities to bring souls to Christ. And this is from CSSW, which is Councils on Sabbath School Work, page 60 and 61. Ministry of Healing 149, I'm not going to read all this, but our churches should be what? Training schools for Christian workers. They should be taught how to give Bible readings, how to conduct and teach Sabbath school classes and other things. So church should be an opportunity to teach people how to teach. When we do nominating committee, we usually find people who think they know how to teach, or people who can teach, or people who are just the most talkative, right? 저 장로님이 말씀 안 하시니까 let's just make him the teacher, okay? That's not a good justification for nominating, and some of you are not Korean speaking, so God bless you. You're here at Korean camp meeting, so you learn the language. We get into this mentality, like let's not find how people are called to Bible teaching, but just who are more, have a certain inclination to do it, and it's not good for the Sabbath school's health in the future. So what I do at Sabbath School, I have three positions. One, I am a host of a TV show on Hope Channel. It's called Inverse. It was formerly called the Sabbath School University. It had negative ratings for some reason, and they're going to cancel it. They're going to get it away. It was hosted at Andrews University. And then I came to a general conference, and they're like, hey, he looks like he's a young person. I'm like one of the youngest people at the general conference. Everyone's like near retirement age, around 60 or older. I'm 30-something years old, nearing 40. I'm getting older, I think. But they said, hey, you're a young person. We'll give you the show. And it's like, I hate the show. I don't even like the title. I don't even like the set. It's like, hey, we'll give you a budget. We'll change the format. Do whatever you want to do with it. So we called it inverse. So it's like in the Bible, in the verse, but it's also like inverse, like a different. Yeah? Yeah, you getting it? Amen? All right, whatever. And then so it's on DirecTV, channel 368. And by God's grace, in the last 3 years, it has, I mean, Hope TV is not this ginormous, you know, a mammoth of a network, but it is on satellite TV. So my barber, who is not a Seventh-day Adventist, she says she watches she has DirecTV, and she watches Hope Channel. She doesn't even know I'm an Adventist. And she said that I told her about, hey, can you cut my hair a little bit nicer than usual because I'm going to be on TV? And she's like, oh, you're on TV? What channel? And we tied this. And she's like, wait a minute, you're that Asian guy. And I'm like, oh, is this happening? And like, and she's like, hey. I'll admit, I don't watch you, but I remember surfing through the channels, and I saw you, and I was like, oh, you probably think of some other Asian person, because all Asian people look the same. And then she's like, no, you have like that black person there and a Hispanic person. I'm like, no, that's us. We're the only show that does that. So I was at a Golden Corral one time in the Midwest, and I was just minding my own business. I had a cap on and just whatever. And someone passed by my table, and then they stopped, and then they moved back. And they're like, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but are you like a pastor by chance? I'm like, oh, no. Yes. He's like, "Are you? Do you have a TV show by chance? I'm like, yes. And he's like, yeah, hey, I watch you. Thank you so much. God bless you. And then they just walk off. And I was like, wait. And I was like, is this person an angel? Is this person, maybe they're an Adventist? I don't know who they are. But it's out there circulating. And we get a lot of feedback from around the world. There are two Sabbath School programs out there called, one is Sabbath School, Hope Sabbath School by Pastor Derek Morris. It's 1 hour and didactic in nature. This is 30 minutes long, and it's more for young adults. And the General Conference defines young adults as 18 to 35 plus. We add that plus in there because there are some people who are older than 35 who still think they're a young adult. And so we make that line a little bit, you know, space. We give them some space for that. And so we have here one person from different areas of the world. They are all American. I think they're all American. So the host is me, and I represent Asia. Yeah, I am the yellow man. And then you have next to me, you have Israel, whose face is cut off there. He represents Latin America. On my other side is Siku. She is Zimbabwean Canadian. Next to her is Jonathan Valter from Austria. He's an Austrian-Norwegian from Europe. Next to him is Callie. She's a normal American person. And then you have next to her is Sebastian, whose roots come from Jamaica, from the Caribbean. And so we all know each other. We really make it a point to make sure that we have a good time, and we really do. And we make fun of each other. We argue with each other. But the whole point is to have a discussion about the Bible. It's centered about Scripture. And we try to do it at a fast pace. And we thought this was primarily for a global North audience. But what's happening is the global South is really embracing this program because they're realizing they can learn really fast current contemporary English, American English, because we use slang and whatnot. And by God's grace, it's been a blessing. So I also want to recommend, if you guys want to watch it, we have a podcast. If you want to listen to it while you're driving, and I figure I'm here at Crane Camp meeting, and because we talked about communitarian communities, even though I'm an individuality, you have helped me, and you are represented here. We are all one minjok together. Amen. And the Hangul P flows through all of us. Anyway, that's what it is. You can go to Hope TV. There's other TV shows there, and you can go to Facebook where we put all the posts up there. My second job that I do is I edit the Collegiate Quarterly. We are changing the Collegiate Quarterly. It's for 18 to 35-year-olds. 35-year-olds do not want to study something called the Collegiate Quarterly because they haven't been to college for like a billion years. So we created an ecosystem called Inverse, the Bible Study TV show, and then also Inverse, the Bible Study. There is a current debate whether we should use electronic, digital, or analog print. And there's this battle. And some people are like, it's all going to be digital. And some people are like, no, digital is from the demons. We got to only go analog. And we're like, no, either or. Well, let's do both. We'll have the same thing on print and digital. And so some of us brainstormed and said, instead of either or, and instead of both, How about having the two interact with each other? And this goes back to my philosophy, is that we all need, and we all do function on having both media. We use digital for the sake of digital, but we also have a pen and paper in hand, and I use this journal, a Leuchtturm 1917, that's a sand color, that's an A5. I get into my journals, I'm really into that. And so this print, we're going to have a print, a Bible study with QR codes. Those QR codes will direct you to another site with a text on there, and the study's there. The benefit of digital is there's no limitation for space. So you can just keep on scrolling. There's material, 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 material. But when you're reflecting and when you're trying to get your spiritual thoughts together, you cannot do it with your thumbs. Yes, you can type with your thumbs. Yes, you can do the swipe thing, but it's very difficult. And so we have like a paper format where you get all your thoughts out, your prayers are out. There's a scribal spiritual exercise with writing. Now, a lot of you are Generation X, and you're like, well, what's the big deal about writing? Generation Z is now, and millennials are getting into this art called writing and calligraphy. And Generation Z is like, wow, like, have you guys tried writing before? Like, this is amazing. Like, you put it on paper. And you're like, yes, it's we had it when we grew up. And it's become this resurrection of an art form. So we're trying to bring these two things together. It's called Inverse. Two quarters out of the year, it follows the same topic as the adults. The other two, it follows a young adult perspective on busyness of life, on parenting, on how do you know your calling, professional issues, integrity, ethics, and stuff that we feel that young adults all around the world are really engaged with. So many of you have kids in this age group. Maybe you're in this age group. However you feel you want to adapt it, that's for your information. And my last project is I'm an assistant director for the Sabbath School Department, so I get to travel around the world. I do about 2 international trips about a month, and we promote Sabbath School. In the Global North, Sabbath School is dying. Like I said, people are not really interested. But when I go to Global South, man, people are at Sabbath School at 8 to 8:30 in the morning, packed house. I come to church at 9:30. I'm already late, so I only got standing room in the back. People are active. They love their Sabbath School groups. The Sabbath School groups go out in the afternoon, and they're doing activity. Well, what is Sabbath School? There is a different definition of Sabbath School when you go to different churches. So our department is to set the record on what Sabbath School should really be all about. And it's three values that you see up there. Number one, you change the world, which is through global missions. Number two, you change your church through fellowship. And number three, it's changing your heart. I mean, God's the only one that can change your heart, but really through the Word of God, through Bible study. These are the three values that we espouse. Now, this is the thing. If you just come for divine service, you don't get this. And this is where North America is going towards. Just come to church at 11, you listen to the sermon, you pay your tithe if you feel like you're a good steward, and you go and you eat your potluck. Some people don't even come out for divine service. They just come for potluck, which is a horrible Sabbath experience, especially if potluck is disgusting. But if you come for Sabbath School, and this is where we are supposed to be taught elements of world mission, you are not, as we talked about yesterday, you are not a member of your local church. He is not a member of Lombard Seventh-day Adventist Church. He is a member of the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church. His tithe and his offerings contribute to the worldwide gospel, but he worships in his local chapter at Lombard SDA Church. So this is how it works. And so I want to present to you here these three elements. You can find more things at alive.adventist.org. This is where we put all of our resources. You probably see a video with another Asian guy there who looks a lot like me. Number one is missions. And local and foreign missions is where it's to be emphasized. We have Mission Spotlight. You guys remember Mission Spotlight? It went away, and we brought in Mission 360. When we brought in Mission 360, people got confused. What is this 360? I want my Spotlight back. So we canceled 360, and now we have Mission Spotlight back. But now they have Mission Spotlight. People are like, where's Mission 360? And there's this like perpetual cycle that we're in. It's not only a time to read the mission story. I don't know if some of your Sabbath schools. I remember when I was growing up in my church, and actually where Julie and I used to go, we had a period where we went to the same church. And now is the time for Mission Spotlight, and you bring out this paper, and like Julio is a young man from Mexico. He was very sad one day, and then you read the mission story, and then today's offering goes to Julio's family. Let the offering be collected. That's a horrible mission story, okay? We do have videos now. But the how mission work got started was the Pit. You guys know Pitcairn Island, the boat that went to the islands in the Pacific. Back when the Seventh-day Adventist Church was getting started, there was these dinky islands in the middle of the ocean. Yes, the most remote island in the world, and there's Adventists there. And they said, "Hey, we need help. We need a pastor. Send us a pastor. Put us a pastor." And then the GC and the church was so busy because they were doing stuff in Africa and Europe, whatever. And because of this, please send us a pastor. Please send us a pastor. So what happens in North America, the local Sabbath schools got together and out of their own pocket, this is keys, out of their own pocket, they donated money. And this money, through the work of lay people, got together and they funded a pastor. They bought a boat. And then they went to the Pitcairn Islands, and the pastor got there. So this is the mission spirit is baked into Sabbath school. The question is this. Your local Sabbath school group, your whatever class you're in, do you have a project of your own volition? Not 13th Sabbath, not some, you know, major. We do that too. But your own class. What does it do for world mission? And today, in a global digitalized society, you can find opportunities for that. I would surmise that in our Korean-American context, the largest mission field that we must have and foremost in our minds is North Korea. Yes? We are living in the most prosperous country of the most prosperous time in Earth's history. And here we are Korean-American. Meaning, we have American citizenship. With the South Korean citizenship, we have zero access, zero contact, zero connectability with North Korean, but Americans have full contactability with North Korea. At the same time, we are of Korean heritage. You know, North Koreans love Korean Americans. They love. Korean Americans, and I know some of you are thinking, what about that guy who got arrested? What about that guy who got beheaded? What about that guy? Yeah, there are those situations. There's politicization of the news. But when Korean Americans come over, they're like, ah, a lost son of North Korea has come back. And we're like, 저는 한국말 못해요. And they're like, ah, 한국말을 못하니까 우리가 갈 거다. And they just think as a lost son has come back. And they love Korean Americans. And if Korean Americans have dollars, they love you even more. This is an opportunity for us because no other people group has this accessibility to North Korea. Yes, there is the politics. Yes, there is Trump. Yes, there is you might die. Yes, there's all these things. But there is a certain affinity that we have, even at the least in our prayers. We should be praying for North Korea. Because if we don't, who else is? Who else is? Why is this so important? It's not because North Korea is North Korea because it's a communist. North Korea is the last country where the gospel formally has not entered into yet. And for the gospel, for Jesus to come, the gospel will go to the ends of the earth and then shall the end come. So we can't be waiting out here and drinking our Jamba Juice and going to Starbucks and driving our SUVs and going to our local practices and just waiting for Jesus to come. There should be an active mission spirit baked into our Sabbath school and a burden, at least for our ancient relatives in North Korea. Now, you don't have to. You can have other burdens for other people. For example, I mentioned the Hickory, North Carolina church that Danny and Mia are from. They have a burden for the Hmong people. You guys know the Hmong people, the refugees from Vietnam. Colegio has a burden for the students, for them to be future missionaries to the world. There needs to be some kind of mission burden for some group, preferably someone in your local area, to impact the world. And this is something that our Korean generational parents have not given us that burden for. Although they have worked very hard and sacrificed for, they haven't passed down that burden because they don't want to give more budam to the next generation. Okay, I'll stop preaching there. Okay, so next is stewardship. We need to learn what happens to your tithe. After my presentation yesterday, many of you came out to me and are like, well, what happens about this? And what happens to my da-da-da? These are things that should be taught in Sabbath school. You should know where these finances are going to fund the world work. Understanding of the world church, church growth. And so here we talked about the 13 divisions. If you get an opportunity, on the back of your Sabbath school quarterly, you have a picture of each of the divisions, yes? You should be praying for these divisions. The cool thing is this. The Middle East here, we call it the 1040 window, they're having a hard time with missions. They do not like Americans. Americans, the white Anglo-Saxon face is like a target. And so the missionaries that are really on the cutting edge in Adventist and in non-Adventist mission projects are, guess who? Koreans. Korea used to be number 3 in sending missionaries out. 2 years ago, they became number 2. And then by next year, or by 2021, Korea will have sent the most missionaries out to the world, even outpacing North America. Can someone say amen? There's something crazy about Koreans. Yeah, they have like, you know, gujangi and, you know, yashimi and chugodo. You just go in there. And so in the Middle East, you have like Iraq, Iran, Cyprus, Egypt. There's Koreans who are undercover. Some are working for Hyundai and for Daewoo and for whatnot in Adventist and non-Adventist circles. And they're funded by their cousins who are in Korean Americans in Canada. And I guess if you're in Canada, you're not Korean American. You're Korean. Anyway, they don't matter. Canadians or whatever. Some of you are Canadian. They're being funded. So maybe you can't go there. Maybe you got your whatever, but you can fund and you can these initiatives. In other denominations, especially in Presbyterian denominations, they have 0.0 mission plans for North Korea. Meaning, at time marker 0.0, when the wall comes down, so there's no wall, but when the wall comes down, time point 0.00, the timestamp starts, and they have mission team A goes to warehouse X95. They pick up these parts, and they go to Haedong. Mission team B goes to warehouse 97432, and they go to this area, and they've marked out the entire plan for North Korea. And in Adventism, what are we doing? What are Korean Americans doing of our own volition? What are we doing? At least we should be praying for them. And then our Sabbath school groups can take initiative in praying for North Korea. Here you have AdventistMission.org. All the videos are there. They're in French, Portuguese, and Spanish. I don't think you all speak Portuguese, French. Anyway, it's there if you have other people that you know that want to speak it. All of our videos up there. Also, for those of you who have kids, you don't see it here. You have a youth and young adult mission quarterly, but if you scroll down, there is a kids quarterly for missions. So if you have kids, you can do your devotions through this and develop a mission spirit for the next year, especially for your kids. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stories. And the church places a lot of financial investment into this. Now, this is a long quote. I'm not going to read all of it, but here's the point. The prosperity of the what? Homework. That's not sukje. Okay, that's the work, local work here. The local work depends largely under God upon the reflex influence upon the evangelical work done in countries afar off. Meaning this, if you want God to bless your local church, you invest in other things out there. The more we invest in mission work out there, God will bless your local church. And that's a promise that she's writing here from God. That which is given to start the work in one field will result in strengthening the work in other places. So you have this Korean mentality that says, hey, we are Korean, the conference is American, they don't understand our needs, we're going to withhold our tithe, we're just going to give the minimum to get our pastor, but we're not going to remit all of our finances, we're going to put that into church budget. And they're thinking, we need to bless the work here. It's all up to us. It's in our strength. If you do that, you deny the help of the conference. You deny the help of your sister churches. You're denying the help of the Seventh-day Adventist church system. But beyond their organizational help, you're denying the help of God. And you're taking the work into your own hands. And so many of these churches, you have the elders have built wonderful churches with state-of-the-art audio systems, and state-of-the-art pianos and chairs and whatnot. But nothing is happening in the local field. And so instead of investing in local, we need to take on the burden for the world. If this is clear, please say amen. Okay, that was a forced amen, but I'll still take it. So worldwide Sabbath school attendance is actually higher than church attendance. In some places, they have to come by 9 o'clock or by 8 o'clock. But in Sabbath school research around the world, that showed us that the main complaint that people have when they don't go to Sabbath school is that it is routine and boring. Okay, many people don't know why we should even come to Sabbath school. These are statistics. The Global South used to be 54%, but now it is 92%. The Global North is now only 7.4, whatever it is, 7%. And so we need. This is what I'm saying. Maybe we need to learn from Africa. Maybe we need to learn from South America. Because now North America has become the mission field. Africa is sending missionaries over here to teach us about Jesus. This is what they do. I took the names out and I replaced them with other names. Each Sabbath school group is a potential church plant group. So you have the mother church up here. It's called Glen Valley Central Church. That's the mother church. Now you may be thinking, maybe this church is like 200 members, 500 members, and when we are healthy, we will start planting churches. But here's the thing. They say in order to be healthy, we need to plant churches. It's the other way around. So they plant the Renton Lake Company, the Glen Valley East Church, the Mead Church, and the Glenmont Branch Sabbath School. But each of these daughters also have the mentality to plant other churches. So these churches are Glen Valley University Branch Sabbath School, the Glen Valley East Southeast Company. And each of these companies are like maybe 10, 15 people when they get started. And then when the church splits, the mother church gets sometimes even smaller than the daughter churches. But they don't care about numbers. They care about how many churches there are, not how many members that they have. We have this mentality in North America. If we had to do a church plant and we split, what will happen to our church? That means you will have to do more work. Amen? There's a term called branch Sabbath school. How many of you remember that term? Okay, that term is now antiquated. We don't use that term. In North America, there are now these new church growth, church planting philosophies. And I surmise that we have not done an appropriate theological analysis of those methods in their methodology, if they align with Scripture and the spirit of prophecy. But we see that here in the Global South, where they do not adopt these philosophies and they do not adopt these corporate versions of for financial fiscal responsibility, that here, this isn't on the conference level, this is on the local church level. And if anything, every Sabbath school class should be a potential new church in the future. Whether that church happens or not, I mean, that's up to how that local situation scenario works. But at least we have the mentality that our class may be another church someday. But we don't have that mentality, yes or no? We just go to my class, my teacher, we get a blessing at it, and we go back. Yeah. For those of you who go to Sabbath. For those of you who don't even go to Sabbath school, you're not even like, what is he talking about? And this is where VBS really, really intersects with French Sabbath school. Some of you have VBSs. Your VBSs are awesome. You go all out for VBS. The craziest people at church are the VBS leaders, okay? So they go out and they're like, they do a waterfall. They could create Mount Everest. And they're just like, let me just create a desert here and bring in sand from the, you know, just in here. And then the kids are like, wow, this is a different world, okay? So then what happens? You go all out for 7 days, and when VBS is done, it's done, and then everyone, like, you know, recuperates because they've been going all out. Like the teachers of our kids, right? They're going all out for our kids, and on Sunday, I mean, they're going to, like, just zonk out, right? They're going to, like, sleep for, like, 90 years. So here, parents who can be approached in no other way are frequently reached through their children. Sabbath school teachers can instruct the children in the truth, and they will, and in turn, take it into their home circle. But few teachers seem to understand the importance of this branch of the work. You get the kids, you get the parents. Yeah? That's how you're here. You all get it? So some of you don't have kids, and God bless you, you're here because you really want to be here. But the rest of you, you're stuck here because your kids wanted to be here. Okay? So this is how church works. You get the kids, the parents will come. So VBS can intersect directly with Sabbath school. Some of you are like, we don't have a very good Sabbath school program. There's no kids, and there's all these only old people. So you go into the community, and you take their kids, and you bring them through VBS. So you go all out Monday, all out Tuesday, all out Wednesday, and Thursday, like, guys, do you love VBS? Yeah, we love it. We love the desert. We love the waterfall. We love the, you know, Empire State Building that you built, my damn toothpicks, whatever you did. And then, like, okay, well, Friday, do you love VBS? Yes, we love VBS. We're going to have VBS all year, boys and girls. And the kids are like, what? Yay! And then the VBS leaders are like, what? What's going on? What are you talking about? Well, when September rolls around, most likely you're going to go to school. So Monday through Friday, we can't have VBS. And on Sunday, most likely you go to church. So we can't have VBS on Sunday. So I don't know. We'll have it from 9:30 to 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. And then the VBS teachers should be the same teachers at Sabbath school, so there's continuity of facial recognition when the kids come in from the community. We did this at our local church, and we got like 4 to 5 families. I mean, if you advertise VBS, you have a week-long free childcare for like 2 hours. What parent is not going to take that opportunity? Yeah. So we got all these community, all these kids coming in the community. We got the door hangers, free child care for two hours every day for 1 week. These families come, and then on Saturday they're coming, and the kids are like, "Oh, I remember, you know, Miss So and So. I remember Mr. Oh, he was like, he was dressed as Solomon. I remember him, and all these things. Cool." So then they come, they become kids, friends with their kids, and then the parents are just waiting in the parking lot, right? They're just waiting for their kids. Well, hey, parents, instead of you just waiting in the parking lot, we have a special program just for you. Now, you don't want to throw them in like Daniel and Revelation 2,300 days prophecy seminar right away. But maybe like a family seminar, or how to be a good parent, or marriage seminar, or health. You know, you know what it is. But you do that, and you slowly bring them up, and eventually, maybe in 5-10 years, they are enrolled in a prophecy seminar and evangelistic series. But we got to be strategic, because we let VBS go all out, and then they don't do anything for one whole year. Then they go all out. There's no connection. There's no mindset to be evangelistic. Okay, this is a long quote. The indifference of children in many cases is chargeable to the who. If the children are indifferent, or if the parents are indifferent, and then the children catch the same spirit, if the parents show that they attach importance to Sabbath school by giving it respect and prominence, the children will generally, copy their example. So if your kids hate Sabbath school and they don't like their Sabbath school teacher, it's mostly because you are the problem. Amen? All right, amen. All right, moving on. Number two, fellowship. Sabbath school is really in charge of creating the fabric of fellowship for the local church. Okay, for divine service, you just go in, you sit, and you say amen, and then you go home. There's zero fellowship. But for Sabbath school, it's just where you have your small group and you're interacting with them. You're nurturing new members. You can pair off and do prayers. In some churches, potluck is run by each Sabbath school class. So one Sabbath is these guys, another, and they just go around doing this. You have visiting former members. So yesterday we talked about church discipline and that the local church has the responsibility to determine membership or not. If by whatever situation, and by the way, membership is not salvation. Yes? It is evangelistic license. It's a bona fide membership. That if, let's say, you know, Chris is here and he's smoking marijuana and he's doing cocaine and selling nuclear weapons to Kim Jong-un on the side. And so we decide to disfellowship. He's not a good Seventh-day Adventist. Adventists should not be selling nuclear weapons to Kim Jong-un. Amen? Amen. So then we disfellowship him. But what usually happens is after we disfellowship him, he's gone. We don't talk about him. And Koreans are like, and we do all that we do. But usually what should happen is a Sabbath school class should go visit him. This is when we get closest to him more than any other time. We love him, and we pray for him, and we counsel him. Please don't sell nuclear weapons to Kim Jong-un. It's not a good thing. Jesus doesn't want you. And you open the Bible that says, thou shalt not sell nuclear weapons to each other. Okay, and that's what you do. Visiting, this is from Sabbath school. A welcoming division. When you go to church, the people that say hello, 안녕하세요, the humble people, okay? This is from Sabbath school. Sabbath school is the first contact, for the first line of defense or offense or whatever you want to say, is when people come in, the first impression is Sabbath school. But what usually happens? Sabbath school is like people are coming at 9:40, they're plugging in the electricity, the PowerPoint isn't working, so they're tuning the piano at 9:50, and if guests come in, this is their first impression of church. Especially for those of you who live up north where the winter is, someone should come in early and turn on the heat. That's a huge ministry just in itself. So welcoming is in the responsibility of Sabbath school. And then discipleship. Sometimes we baptize people, and after baptize, we don't care about them. We don't talk to them. But 1 year after baptism should be a systematic discipleship class, introducing and weaving them into the fabric of the Adventist church and helping them understand what true Adventism really is. You can even plan out a whole year of social events and get that going. So this is a quote. Many professed Christians in seeking church relationship think only of themselves. They wish to enjoy church fellowship and pastoral care. They want to be members of large and prosperous churches, and they're content to do little for others. In this way, they are robbing themselves of the most precious blessings. Many will be greatly benefited by sacrificing their pleasant, ease-conducing associations. They need to go where their energies will be called out in church work, Christian work, and they learn to bear responsibilities. So when you are choosing a church, Don't choose the comfortable, big church where you can sit and do nothing. Go to that rough church where there's only like two people. And when you join, you'll be the head deacon, the elder, the pastor, the pianist. You'll do everything. And it's good for your spirituality to do everything. Yes, you'll be tired, but God will bless you in your profession if you go all out in helping. Rather than sitting in a pew and imprinting your butt into the pew cushion there. So you have InStepWithJesus.org. This is a one-year discipleship program that the General Conference has created from the Sabbath School Department. And it goes through four quarters. And it looks like the Sabbath School Quarterly for new Adventists on how to be, how to understand Adventist life. It talks about haystacks. What are haystacks? It talks about NAD, ASI, GC, all these, all these acronyms that we have. And it helps them get introduced into the Adventist lifestyle. Number three is Bible study and prayer. You have the Bible, Ellen White Notes is another book that we have, Teacher's Guide, and the ABSG, otherwise known as the Quarterly, for Bible study. This is 45 minutes. Studies show, people say, we want more time. The more time you give someone, the more they can't teach it. If you can't teach it in 45 minutes, you can't teach it at all. So teachers have to be prepared to teach something in 45 minutes. And the more and the more you prepare, so get this. This is revolutionary. When it says Sunday, you need to study it on Sunday. When it says Monday, Tuesday, too. Amen? Amen. That's like guilt is like coming out here. I feel guilt. Well, usually what happens is people study it on Friday night. Right? Because the Holy Spirit is very powerful on Friday night. You are so motivated on Friday night and Saturday morning. And we know this because on the Sabbath School TV show, everyone watches on Friday night. Why are they watching? They're not watching to get a blessing. They're watching to teach tomorrow morning. So we get that. We understand. And I've been guilty of that as well. But we need to not do that. So some ideas. Memorize scripture. Amen? We talked about memorizing. Adults should memorize the memory verse. Not read the memory verse, then it would be called a reading verse. But memorize, okay, I stop. Teachers should facilitate as a conductor of an orchestra. So right now, I'm talking a lot, I'm very sorry, but I'm trying to get through this, and we gotta get to divine worship. But usually for Sabbath school, the main person should not be talking. Should be asking questions, and should be like, okay, flutes, okay, flutes down, okay, violins, trumpets, okay, percussion off, and conducting as an orchestra. Sociological studies show that 6 to 8 members are a prime for discussion. Anything less, you get too much pressure. Okay, so if this is my Sabbath school class, just the two of you, and I'm asking you a question, there's a lot of pressure to answer the question because it's just two of them, right? If it's more than 8, what happens psychologically is people just shut down and they'll say, kind of like yesterday's testimony session, where we're like, well, somebody else will do it, so I'll just wait and wait it out until someone else talks, okay? And that's not good. But somewhere around 7 is a great, and it's interesting, the number 7 is a great number where people feel comfortable, but also can feel comfortable to speak. 45 minutes, I mentioned that. You can use technology. If people are not coming out for Sabbath school, flip it. Maybe once a month. Flip it. And then sometimes don't even tell the people. Just flip it. So 9:30 is divine service and 11 o'clock is Sabbath school. And people are like, what's going on? And they'll freak out. And that's okay. That's healthy when people freak out. Some incorrect methods. I'm not going to go through all this. But one is lecturing. Ellen White uses the term speechifying, which I love that word, speechifying. I don't know if that was even a word. But when one person is doing all the talking, okay, horrible Sabbath schools. Many of our Korean adults, they love speechifying, yeah? They just talk, it's a monologue, it's not good. Blank answers, not good. Interrogation, the quarterly quagmire is when you just read. Do not read the lesson. Because if you read the lesson, you punish those people who studied during the week, and you reward those people who did not study it during the week. So you don't want to do that at all. Demeaning questions, opinions, speculation. People, when you never use the Bible, it's not good. This quote is awesome. As we approach near the end, I have seen that there will be less what? Less preaching. More Bible study. There will be little groups all over the ground with their Bibles in their hands and different ones leading on in a free conversational study of the scriptures. And I really feel if we transform our Sabbath school to this, it will increase the attendance of our Sabbath schools. She says, don't read it. That's what she's basically saying. Sabbath school rises or falls on who? So my job as an editor, I develop the study guide. We can make it the best study guide. But if the teachers are horrible, it'll still be horrible. Okay? Don't look at it on Sabbath morning or on Friday night, but prepare it all throughout the week. That's what she's saying. Not on Friday. Sabbath school teaching, the goal of it is for all of us to read the Word of God, how to think biblically and learn biblically, but also how to what? Express themselves. So in the Korean culture, because we are from a didactic culture, we like a teacher, and we like sitting down, kind of like Elizabeth, we like taking our notebooks out and our highlighters, and we just like taking notes, right? But this is supposed to be a conversational interaction rather than one way. And we're teaching people how to express themselves, how to talk. Not also how to talk, but also how to listen, how to work and witness, as we mentioned, and also teachers learn how to teach. The Sabbath school superintendent is teaching the teachers how to teach better. Once church, they take a video camera, and then they actually video camera how the teacher teaches, and then gives them instructions. Hey, you want to do this? You may not want to do this. And it's making the Sabbath school experience better for the entire church. So how do you do this, the lesson? So Peter's sermon, and it's a sermon, but it's 26 verses, okay? 13 of those verses are Old Testament quotes. What percentage is that? 50%. So 50% of his sermon is reading the Bible. The remaining 11 verses are what? Explaining them. Yeah? And then the remaining two verses are, it's an appeal. Hey, let's do something. This is your basic backbone for every sermon and for every Bible study guide. The result is what? 3,000 baptisms. Pretty easy. Okay, so just do that, and 3,000 people will join your church. Okay, so what happens in your Sabbath school class? So there, usually we read the quarterly, then everyone shares their opinion until the bell rings. Okay, I don't know if your churches have bells. Mine does. Okay. But instead, we should be reading scripture and then explaining it, what's the meaning, and then at the end, it's an appeal. That appeal does not have to be a Mark Finley, Doug Batchelor appeal. You don't have to like stand and look to the camera and like, won't you come to be tempted Jesus? You don't want to do that, especially when your Sabbath school class is only two people. You don't want to give an appeal right here. It's just an appeal to action. Hey guys, let's do this. Let's be more like da da da. How many of you want more grace, for example? The introduction, I'm not going to go through this. You don't want to say, hey, I was just so busy. How many of you did your lesson? These are bad ways to start off the Sabbath school lesson. Choose one large body of text, and that's my recommendation. Just read one chapter and study that chapter out. Boom, you're done. You don't have to go to all these verses all throughout Scripture. Okay? I'm not going to go through this. Some offensive responses. I changed it to a Korean kid because we're in Korean camp meeting. Teachers who are not listening, dangling silence, responsive dismissal. I'll skip over that. This is what I want to get to. Let's see. Why do not believers feel a deeper, more earnest concern for those who are out of Christ? Why do not two or three meet together and plead with one for the salvation and for some special one, and then for still another? In our churches, let companies be formed for service. Let different ones unite in labor as fishers of men. Let them seek together to gather souls from the corruption of the world. The formation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort has been presented to me by one who cannot err. Small companies, small teams is God's means of doing service to the world. So what do you do on Sabbath afternoon? Do you go for lay activity? Do you go to Box Springs Church and spend some time there? Or are you out there and with your Sabbath school class, visiting those members who are sick, visiting those members whose maybe kid is sick, visiting those members who are having marital problems, visiting those members and seeing how they're doing? 15 minutes in their home is all that's required. Hanging out with them, praying for them, leaving a Bible verse and saying, hey, our Sabbath school misses you, and then you get out of there. You don't sit there for 2 hours. You don't eat their Korean meal. You just get out of there as fast as possible because people want to, you know, live their lives. This is what Sabbath school is. How many of you want to say, Lord, I want my Sabbath school to be better. It's not where it should be. Maybe some of your Sabbath schools, no one's there. Maybe some of your Sabbath schools, it's just an academic exercise where people are showing off how many degrees that they have. Or is it an exercise of Christian service to the community? How many say, Lord, help me? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, fill us with the unction for the world. Fill us with the unction for mission, for lost souls, for evangelism. Lord, these are words that may be foreign to some of us, or dangerous to some of us, or even painful. But Father, our plea is, help us to live outside of ourselves, and not to be inward focused, but outward focused for your glory. Use us to change our Sabbath schools, to change the world, change our churches, and to change our hearts simply by your grace. We ask a special blessing to be upon those who said, Lord, we need your help, who rose their hands. And we look forward to how you will change our churches, we pray. In Jesus' name, let everyone say, Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.